Wow. Thank you, Michelle. That took courage. So thank you, Lord, for that. Wow, it's been beautiful today. Every song. Oh, goodness gracious. Let me just say, before I get into the Word, I want to make an announcement. Next Sunday is going to be a very special Sunday, and hope that you can make plans to be with us. We're going to be celebrating 30 years for New Life Ministries. And so that's going to be an exciting time next Sunday. We'll have some guests come that we have invited. And so afterwards, after that, we're going to be having a meal down in the gym. So it'll be a time of fellowship. But plan now to be with us. And you can bring a side dish or something and have it with us and down there. But we're going to have a fun time. And we're going to have some pictures that we're going to show, a slide of pictures, and you're going to laugh. You're going to see Miss Wallace in her early years, and Miss North and Darlene and I. Oh my gosh! And some of these kiddos that have grown up, you're going to see them in the younger years, and so it's going to be a fun time. But we're going to have different ones. Just talk about New Life Ministries. It's not about one person, but it's about the body and how we have gone for 30 years, okay? And so that's exciting. So I just want to invite y'all to be a part of that, and we'll celebrate together. Amen? All right. All right. Well, let's get right into the Word, see what the Lord has for us. This will be from Joshua chapter 24. Beginning with verse 14 through 18, King James Version. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Ammonites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Title of my message this morning is, But As For Me and My House, We Will Serve the Lord. I love to watch, there's some TikTok videos out there that are hilarious, and I like to follow a particular one that, his name is Justin Chopoulos. I don't know if you've ever watched him on Facebook, on the videos, but he's got a little 6 or 7 year old daughter that he takes around with him. He's got thousands of followers, and it's hilarious because what their deal is, they go to different restaurants all over Florida, and they've traveled over through Mississippi into Texas and all over the country, and it's funny because when he goes, he loves Cajun food or seafood, and it's hilarious because he can't pronounce some of those words, you know, and he saw a sign that said debris the other day going into the restaurant, and had something about the trash or whatever and about the debris, and he called it debris. He didn't know how to pronounce it, but it's hilarious to watch. And his big thing He gets in there to the restaurant, whether it's him by himself or with his child, with his 6 or 7 year old daughter. And of course, her thing is always grilled cheese sandwiches with french fries or chicken strips or one of the others like that. And of course, he goes on about the menu, you know, and there's so many choices and he wants everything on the menu. And so he'll choose 3 or 4 items or whatever. But it's hilarious because all of these followers, you know, they think it's hilarious to watch him and to do that. And he makes money off of it. So, you know, he continues that. But, you know, the big thing is all about the choices. He can't get over that. So getting into our word today, you know, at some point in life, we're faced with big decisions regarding education, careers, soulmates, children, investment and retirement, and that's just to name a few. Big decisions all requiring lots of choices, starting, you know, as young adults. And so the results of those choices we know will be impacting. We know that these are important choices, and so most of us will agonize over those choices, trying carefully to make the right and the best choice that we possibly can. After all, we know we're going to have to live with the results of our choices. How many know that? And so we'll gather. I'm glad one of you noticed that. So we'll gather as much information as we can, weigh it all out. We'll seek counsel and advice and examine things from every possible angle, because we know that the choices we're making are very important. Amen? And it's strange then that the most important choice that you'll ever be called upon to make is one that so many folks try the hardest to ignore. It's the choice then that affects all the others, that flows to all the others, that informs all others. And that's the choice about the way you want to live your life, about the kind of person you want to be. It's the choice about the kind of heart that you want to have, the kind of spirit and the attitude that you wish to portray. It's the choice about your life will be founded on, about the rule of life that will guide all of your other decisions. So this choice is critical, not only because of the impact that it will have on every other facet of your existence in this life, but also because you'll carry the results of that with you into the next life. You see, this choice isn't just about now, it's about eternity. At its most fundamental level, it's a choice, really, between righteousness and unrighteousness. It's between being saved and being lost. It's about being between heaven and hell. Are you with me so far? When framed then in these terms, it's easy to just see how critical this choice, this particular choice, is in our lives. Where you want to spend eternity is life's most significant choice, because the results of the choice will affect every aspect of living, of your living. It will affect how you conduct yourself, how you treat others, the kind of person that you are in success or failure, in good times and in bad. It's a choice about who you're going to serve, about who will determine the rule of your life. And it's a choice that people have had to make for a very long, long time. In our scripture reading, as the great leader of the people of Israel, Joshua challenges his people with this particular choice. Choose you this day, he said, whom you will serve. And he thunders that out. You can't ignore the choice. You have to make that choice. And while he frames the choice in terms of the unique circumstances they were facing, the message in itself is both timeless and it's applicable to us today. He told them, now, here are your choices. Here's your options. And there are only three options to look at. You can serve the gods of your ancestors. You can serve the gods of the nations around you. Or you can serve the Lord. But in any case, you've got to make a choice. And that choice is going then to influence every other decision you make. So he said, choose and choose today. And while we may not be familiar with those particular terms like the God of your ancestors or the gods of the nations around you, we can understand and we can appreciate that each choice meant a choice of values and lifestyles. They could choose between living the way of their ancestors, the way their ancestors had always lived, or living the way the nations around them lived, or living life God's way. And guess what? Those are the same basic choices we are faced with today. The same basic options for the direction of our lives. Listen, choosing the ancestral gods means allowing my background, my culture, my family to make my choices for me. I follow the path that the ancients have chosen for me. What they've been, I'll be. What my people have chosen become my choices. Their lifestyle becomes mine. Their loves and hates are mine. Their limitations and, yes, their bondages become mine. They're saying, I can't help it. This is what all of my people are. This is what all of my people have been. I follow blindly in the ruts that have been worn deep by the generations that have preceded me. So then choosing the ancestral gods, watch this now. It means that your grandfather's addictions, your grandfather's hatreds, your grandfather's politics, and your grandfather's beliefs have all become yours. Just think about that, if you will, for a moment, because it can be sobering, if not eye-opening. It means that those who have gone before you have determined now what you will be. And sadly, guess what? It is easy to live this way. Why? Because the most difficult choices in life have already been made for you. You're absolved of any responsibility. You're divorced then from the need to exercise your own reason and determine what's actually best for your life. You're free from the need then to examine your people's ways to see if they really, if they're really the ways that will make you better than you are right now. You're released then from the difficult position of perhaps finding that you need to choose a different way. But Joshua then spoke of another choice. You can not only choose the gods of your ancestors, but if that isn't what you want, you can choose the gods of the Amorites, the gods of those who live all around you right now. Well, what does that mean for us? Choosing the gods of those around me means allowing the dominant culture that I'm surrounded by and immersed in to make my choices for me. Are you with me? I follow the path that those around me follow. Watch this now. Their entertainment become my amusements. Their language and their speech becomes mine. More importantly, the things they talk about become the things I talk about. And then here's a biggie. Their interest becomes my interest. The fad of the moment becomes my passion. I mimic their appearance and their mannerisms. And their behavior becomes my behavior. I adopt myself to their lifestyle and I adjust my conduct to theirs. I adopt their ideals and align myself to their ethics. Wherever they declare the moral, ethical high ground to be, is where I stand. So whether the ideal is materialism or socialism or really environmentalism or some strange combination of them, all matters very little. Sadly, I just think what everyone else thinks. I follow their trends and I submit to their taste. So I find that in all things I'm led and formed then by the dominant culture, by the majority, by the gang, or even by the herd, if you please. And this allows me then to go with the flow, so to speak. To live a life free from conflict with the world around me. To live an unexamined life. To live a thoughtless life. And the problem and the burden then of both of these is that they leave me living, watch this, they leave me living someone else's life. I hope you're hearing me today because this is so very critical. They leave me living the life that someone else has dictated is best and that someone else has chosen for me. Here goes now. In the first case, I'm left in bondage to what those before me have been in bondage to. And in the second case, I'm left in bondage to what those around me are in bondage to right now. In the first case, I'm left dissatisfied because I'm hemmed in and cannot break free to search. In the second case, I find myself sampling whatever is the latest and greatest, and still I find myself thirsting for more. And I discover the more doesn't mean merrier, and because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean that it satisfies. So the question remains, is there another way? Is there a third choice? Is there a way then that offers both freedom and satisfaction? Is there a life that can both offer both the security and comfort of the old, yet in turn be new every morning? Is there a life that grants excitement and challenges me, yet satisfies me so deeply that it can keep me from my youth to the grave and go with me into the next life? These were the choices that the ancient Israelites were faced with. And so in our text today, we find their leader Joshua presented to them their dilemma. Then as now, they could not just walk away and pretend there was no choice to be made. They had to choose who they were going to serve. Were they going to follow the ways that their ancient ancestors had followed for thousands of years before them? Were they going to follow the ways of the dominant culture that surrounded them then? Just who were they going to serve? The answer then that they provided to Joshua, though the story is yellowed with age, yet it remains the answer of those who have found the good and the perfect way. Is it to go back to the old gods? Is it to serve the gods of those around us? But how could we do such a thing after what the Lord has done for us? As if to say, you see, we remember that we were in the prison house. We were captives in bondage. We were enslaved, and the Lord delivered us. We remember that we were lost and didn't know which way to go, and the Lord directed us. We remember that we were hungry and thirsty and had no way to be satisfied, and the Lord provided for us. We remember that we were surrounded and attacked by our enemies, and the Lord, here again, He protected us, delivered us, directed us, provided for us, protected us. He made a way, Brother Tony, where there was no way. Well, what do you mean, serve another God? What do you mean, choose another way? There's no other God, and there is no other way. And so today, there are many here this morning under the sound of my voice that I believe can bear witness that the power of the Lord has not lessened today. There are people here, I know, who can testify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can still deliver souls from the prison house. You name the bondage, Jesus can deliver. You name the addiction, Jesus can make you free. Well, it's hereditary, they tell you. It's in your blood, they tell you. All your people were this way, and so for you, it's going to be that way for you. But I'm here to tell you boldly, and I'm here to tell you loudly, without reservation, Jesus Christ is not bound by the older gods. And He's not bound by the ways of your fathers. And many in here this morning could testify to you and say that you don't have to be either of those. The delivering power of Jesus Christ can break the hold of chemical addictions like drugs and alcohol. The delivering power of Jesus Christ can break the hold of psychological addictions like pornography. The delivering power of Jesus Christ can rescue from emotional prisons built up by abuse. The delivering power of Jesus Christ can make you free from the torment of your own bitter spirit and troubled mind, and lead you then to be able to walk in a life of peace and harmony. I wonder if I could get a witness here this morning. That whatever prison house may be holding you bound, Jesus Christ can make you free. Can you say amen? Jesus can still give purpose to one's life with no direction. You don't have to live another day wondering if there's a purpose for your life. Jesus Christ can fill your life with purpose. And I'm here to tell you, this is your day to freedom. Those watching online, and even at a later time, this is your day to a life of freedom. You don't have to spend your days spinning in circles, trying to figure out if there's a reason for your existence. Jesus can reveal your reason to you. You can have confidence in place of uncertainty. You can have clarity in the place of confusion. You can have direction in the desolate places of your own life. You can find the way through when all around you the fog seems to be rolling in. You can know the right course when life takes you into uncharted territories. And I know what I'm talking about. So the power of God has not changed. I wonder if I can get a witness here this morning that Jesus Christ is still in the life-directing business. Can you say amen? We could bear witness this morning of the power of Jesus Christ to provide, how He has provided food when we were hungry, provided shelter when we were in the cold, and provided rest when we were weary. Some could tell you of how they couldn't make the rent, but they prayed and provision was made. Some could share of how they lost their job, didn't know how they were going to make it, but Jesus came through. Never too early, never too late, always right on time. Some could tell you the stories their parents told them of those who prayed in milk for their babies, oil for the furnaces, coats for their backs, and groceries for their cupboards. In these and in many other ways, we have learned then the power of Jesus Christ to provide. So if you're here this morning and you're ready to change because you're tired of the same old rut, I'm here to tell you there is another way, and the way is Jesus. If you're exhausted by the pursuit of what others call pleasure, there is another way, and it's called choosing Jesus Christ. If you're tired of what seems like prison house living, tired of the bondage of addictions and of anxiety and of fear and of bitterness and of anguish, there is another way. His name is Jesus. Did you know a lot of people are bound by fear? A lot of people go through the day, they're bound by anxiety and worry. And yes, bitterness. You've got to know bitterness will kill you. It'll destroy you. If you're worn out with the following, if you're worn out with following the flow of the world around you, bruised by being carried along in the torrent of life, there's another way. And guess what? It's called choosing Jesus. Listen now, His way is ancient, yet somehow it's always current and relevant to today, Brandon. How awesome is that of our God? His way is a way that will both challenge you to be different and empower you to change at the same time. In His way, you'll find forgiveness for transgression and grace to live as one who has been cleansed. You'll find comfort for your sorrow, mercy in your mistakes, strength imparted in times of weakness. And yes, peace of mind when all of the world around us is in chaos. And the blessings of it all can begin today. It can begin this morning, even now, when you choose Jesus Christ. He's the right choice. Yet, we've got to understand that choosing Jesus requires faith. Simply meaning that you've got to be willing to place your life in His hands. And did you know that that's hard for some folks? They can't let go. And why not? They shouldn't be a problem. That shouldn't be a problem because you've trusted others with your past. And where has that gotten you up to this point? Why not trust Jesus Christ with your future? And yes, Jesus Christ, choosing Jesus calls for repentance. And guess what? That's a fancy theological word that simply means to change your mind and change the direction that you're going. Changing your mind about the life you've been living, the choices that you've made up to this point, and turn to following Jesus. And if you've never repented before, we can pray with you and show you how in just a few more minutes. When you sincerely repent, listen, God promises to listen, and He forgives you, and He washes all the guilt, and He takes away all the stain of every sin away from your life. I don't know how that red blood cleanses you and makes you white as snow, but I know it does. Your past is cleansed. Your future is cleared, and you begin to walk in newness of life. And the Bible promises that those who've trusted in Jesus in repentance and in water baptism will receive God's most wonderful gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation. And that's God's own Spirit coming to dwell within you, bringing power to demonstrate the change of life that Jesus brings. You don't have to continue living the same old way. Would you make a new and right choice this morning? Galen, would you come on down? Or come on up, either way you want to look at it. Let me end with this morning. All of the religions say salvation comes by your good works here on earth. But the Bible tells us it's a free gift, Brother Tony. Amen. There's nothing that we do because Jesus did it all. He paid the price. He gave His life for us. His blood was shed on an old rugged cross on Calvary's hill. He made a way so we can have life in heaven with Him for all eternity. But guess what? A person has a choice, meaning it is all up to you or me to ultimately decide, where do you want to spend eternity? With the Lord in heaven for all eternity, or separated forever from Him in a place called hell? Someone said, me and my friends are going to party in hell. Well, believe me, that's not what my Bible tells me. Everything about hell is the very opposite of heaven. Darkness, torment, pain, loneliness, hearing the screams of others but never seeing another soul, burning but never dying for all eternity. Guess what? We have a choice. We do not have to go there. Through Calvary, we can be saved. We can be redeemed. We can be set free to spend eternity with Jesus. All we have to do is say yes and surrender our lives. The Bible says Jesus is coming back for His children. And I, for one, believe that that is sooner than later. But until then, guess what? We can live a life with power and wisdom without fear, living every day to the fullest, doing what Jesus has called us to do, and that's to show God's love to a lost world. Did you know that we don't have to live as victims? We are victors in Christ. We can live a life of victory. We don't have to settle for the status quo. We're not settlers. Amen. He called us to occupy till He comes. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. And we can all be ready because of what Jesus experienced for us at Calvary. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah.